Hello, and welcome to episode 137 of the Arena Regulars podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Jeff.
And we're your source for drunken Magic the Gathering arena content.
That's right, just a couple of regular dudes drinking some irregular beverages and talking about Magic the Gathering, usually the online client MTG Arena.
That's right. But tonight we're going to talk about the story of Magic the Gathering, actually the story of Lost Caverns of Ixalan. Jeff, do we just want to jump right into what we're actually drinking tonight? Because normally we're drinking beer. However, we've decided that we're just not going to do that this episode. We have some there's a lot of like sickness going around. We want to make sure we keep our immune systems up. So we're gonna hold off on beer for this week, and we are drinking, Jeff.
Hot chocolate.
Yeah, hot chocolate. It is officially December, and we are getting in the holiday spirit. By drinking hot chocolate. I brought my Saint Nicholas mug. This is
Oh.
not Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas. You can tell by he's a tall, skinny man. Very different, actual person as opposed to fictional character. But yeah, so Jeff, we had finished our Drunken Vorthos. Sorry, our Silver series that we always did for Drunken Vorthos episodes. And I think this is the perfect way to get into it. We're doing a sober Vorthos, and
Try it.
I'm very excited. All right. Oh, mine is still piping hot. Jeff, do you want us to tell us about your hot chocolate? What kind do you have?
Oh, it's like I didn't bring the can down, but it's Nestle Pure or something. Like, I don't know, it's only made with cocoa and
Totally.
sugar and
And stuff like that.
that's the idea. It's only five ingredients or whatever, and
Oh, nice. That's great.
it's Nestle. I don't know,
Yeah.
there weren't a lot of options at the store and I picked this one.
Very nice. Very cool. I like it.
You
Sorry,
got a lot going on with yours
I'm
there,
just
man.
getting mine ready a little bit. Just a little bit of cinnamon. Let's see. And just a little bit of nutmeg just to get right in.
I just mixed some powder with some hot water. That's what
And I got a bunch of stuff. All right.
did.
Mine's also like a Nestle one, whatever. I think it's more of the generic. Actually, I think I brought it up. It's like carination, carination, carnation. That's what it is. I've actually never seen this before. In the States, we have Swiss Miss, which is my favorite. And apparently, I can't find it anywhere here. So that's a bummer.
Never heard of it.
It's good. Anyway,
I was
Jeff.
hoping there'd be one that's like dark chocolate or whatever, but they all seem to just be milk chocolate with added sugar. So I was like, all
Yeah,
right, fine.
you could
I guess that's what I'll get.
probably just put a bar of dark chocolate in like a pot
Just
of
like
hot
melt
milk.
some chocolate,
Yeah.
yeah. But
All right. We have some magic news. As I'm covered in whipped cream. There's actually a lot of magic news this week. So we had a banned and restricted announcement for a bunch of stuff, but the only thing that really matters to us
Yes.
is Explorer. So Karn, the Great Creator, and Geological Appraiser are banned in Explorer and Pioneer, as well as Smuggler's Copter was unbanned from Pioneer, which also means it's unbanned in Explorer. However, womp womp. Smuggler's Copter is not currently on Arena because when they made Kaladesh Remastered, it was banned. So they thought, why would we even put it on? Let's not even worry about it. Made sense at the time. Huge bummer right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was still sort of a weird decision at the time because, like, I don't know, maybe people play it in other formats,
An historic or
but
something? Sorry,
like, it's not
I'm.
inconceivable that you will unban this card.
Yeah.
I've been playing long enough that I played Pioneer before this was banned, and I remember when
Yeah.
it was banned, I was even like, eh, I don't know, it's not like it wasn't that good. It's just because it was colorless, a lot of people were using it.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm
Be
sure
nice when
we
it comes to Arena, but like whatever. Some people are clamoring for it to be added right now because we deserve it, because it should have been in whatever set, whatever. It's like, you know what? Those master sets don't include every card, okay? They just don't. Like, I wish they had, some of my favorite cards on here, and I could demand those. But you know what? They'll make it to Arena when they make it to Arena. Why is everyone dying to play with Smuggler's Copter anyway? It's not like it's a super fun card.
I guess it's just like the new thing they want to like if people want to the biggest thing is they want to if they would like to practice for a tournament.
Yeah.
If you would like them to be
Yeah,
as
but
close
the
as
tournament's
possible.
gonna be like Pioneer, right? So there's, I don't know. It's already sketchy territory
Yeah.
to use Explorer to practice.
Exactly.
The big thing
But
here, Geological Appraiser banned. Thank you. That was like ruining my experience playing Explorer because that deck is just dumb and I would run into it like half the time. So it's like half of my games that, I sit down to set aside some time to play Explorer, and half of my games are coin flips that like it didn't really matter what I did. It's like either they had it or they didn't. It was like, okay. The deck wasn't even that good. It was just like, why are we doing this?
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
Karn's whatever. I never had much of an issue with mono green, but I can appreciate that it's like a bit lame. Like, they just go get whatever card they need in whatever situation, and
Is a
I
bit
don't know.
lame. Like, I'm glad that it's gone, and I'm glad that it didn't kill like Nykthos, because I think that card is interesting, even though
Oh
that's
yeah.
the biggest like
Mono green
probably.
as a deck's totally fine. Like, its win rate wasn't even that high. It's just, I think people just don't really like Karn. And it has that
It's because it turns off your smuggler's copter.
it's right. I mean, that is part of it, right? If they're gonna unban Smuggler's Copter. It has that super unfun, like War of the Spark thing where they have the stupid text that is additional that like shuts you off. Oh, fuck, I can't actually sack my treasure token. Oh, I guess I just pass now because I counted my
Couldn't,
mana wrong because the
yeah,
treasure token doesn't work.
and I just can't
Yeah.
remember, yeah, that kind of stuff. The one downside is that that deck was really the deck was strangely approachable from a gameplay standpoint. So from a wild card standpoint, it was very wild card heavy, so it's really expensive to play. But from
Yeah.
like actually playing the deck, you never had to sideboard. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
And so if you're going into best of three being like, oh, I don't really know, sideboarding seems confusing. That deck was great because you didn't sideboard because you had a wish board. And so then you just
Right.
go get whatever you need at the time that you need it.
Mono
Which
green players got to learn to sideboard now.
exactly. So now I have to learn how to
Bummer.
sideboard. So, oh well, you have to sideboard like the rest of us. But anyway, good updates. Happy to see him. As we're getting Cons of Tarkir next week, it includes just about everything, including the fetch lands, which we didn't know if they were coming to Arena or not. So you should be picking those up when you're playing in drafts and getting ready for the Arena Open, which is next weekend as well, December 16th and 17th, which is Khans of Tarkir Limited. So basically all next week is just like play cons, get ready for the Arena Open. Those queues are going to be hot. People are going to be clamoring for that. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, Triple Cons was like when I started playing Magic again, sort of. I mean, I ebbed and flowed, but the biggest break I took was stopped at Cons. And I played a lot of that format, and I remember it being super fun. So be interested to see if the arena experience of Triple Cons lives up to how much fun I remember having going to the local store. Because it's a big difference, right? Like when people
It
figure out to
is.
format it in a week and then you're not playing in pod and stuff, like it's different.
We're also not only that, but we're also most of us are going to be playing best of one. If you're getting ready for the Arena Open, playing, best of three is a good idea because you will have to do that on day two. But, for the rest of us who aren't actually playing in the Arena Open, best of one
Yeah.
cons draft, that's, we'll see how it goes.
I remember being so grindy though, like so grindy. So I
So
don't even know if you're gonna like it. I don't remember aggro being a thing at all.
that is true. I tend to like formats that are very aggro centric. So we'll see if I actually enjoy this or not, but who knows? With that, so we did say the fetch lands are going to be on Arena. They will not be legal in Historic, just because they don't want. So you can really just get them for your historic brawl decks. Unless you want to play the new format that they're bringing. Jeff, do you want to tell us about this?
Yes, so there's a new format. It is called Timeless. And oh man, when Cons drops, it will be playable. And it's basically Arena Vintage. So it's everything is legal. Three cards are restricted, meaning you can only play one copy of them, at most one copy of them in your deck. That would be Channel, that would be Tybalt's Trickery, and that would be Demonic Tutor.
Yes.
If you remember, they did this event where it was no ban list, historic, play whatever you want. They got some data from that. Channel was the obvious, like, ridiculously dumb deck. And then Demonic Tutor was just facilitating too many, like, turn two kill, kind of turn three. Like, it was just, these cards are out, not, well, Channel and Demonic Tutor are out for power level reasons. And then Tybalt's Trickery is out because it's a dumb card. Yeah, so then they re-ran the event with that change that those cards were banned, and that's where this is all coming from. And people really loved that. Like, people responded really well to that event. And so they made it a format. I didn't expect it to happen this fast when they were doing those events. I'm like, are they exploring like a note, like just un I thought they were gonna unban stuff in historic, actually, but they decided to make an all new format. I'm pretty pumped for this. I'm gonna be deaf. The thing that I have to do, and I've been like, this is what I've been talking to myself about all since I heard this announcement. No brewing in this format. I have standard and I have explorer to brew in. I can't brew in this format. It would be too a waste of too many wild cards. So I know I'm gonna be tempted. I'm gonna be like, oh, I could go build this deck, and it's not gonna be very good. I'm gonna be like, fuck, that was like 28 rare wild cards.
And then you just
Yeah.
so
So no brewing. I have outlets for brewing. I'm gonna wait for it to settle, the metagame to settle a little bit, pick a deck that is up my alley, and
and
try
then
to aim towards
building
crafting
that.
that
Yeah.
while trying to assemble my fetches and stuff, because I know I'm gonna need those.
Exactly. So that's the biggest thing. I am less high on it than you are.
It's gonna
I
be
just got to
great.
see your mug. That's great. I like that. Jeff's mug says "Rad Dad." But anyway, when the announcement happened, it was quite a surprise to me. And I was immediately not interested in playing it, but I don't think it's exactly because the format is something I'm not super interested in or won't ever be interested in. I think it's that I already feel overwhelmed with the formats I have to play, which is limited and then standard, and then I rarely get to even play Explorer. So the fact that there's another format I might be interested in is just like, I just don't know if I'm gonna have time for it. And I just It's just splitting my brain into too many places. So that's why I came in a little low on it, stewing on it a little bit longer, and listening to people. The biggest complaint is, yes, the alchemy cards will be in Timeless. All the like digital only cards will be there.
Don't worry, you won't have to play with or against
In actuality, there probably won't be that many in the meta. Which is something I didn't really think about originally. So that makes me a little bit higher on it. Ultimately, I wish that they just weren't part of it at all and I never had to run into them at any point, because now it almost feels like I do need to pay attention to those cards more. And I was
It's
also
just like
looking.
those are standard cards, right? Like, how often does a standard card crack Legacy? It's pretty rare.
That's true, but random other cards that they add from random other, I don't, I just, I you never know.
Yeah. If they start creating like
Cards that will
Arena
break into.
Masters 1 and it's like designed Timeless Masters or whatever, and it's designed for this and it's all like digital stuff, that's when I'll politely exit the format. But
Which is exactly the kind of thing Wizards loves to do.
if they
So
just never fucking do that, this could be an amazing
I
format.
know they just always do it. They're gonna do the same thing with Pioneer and Explorer. Like they're just gonna, they
Yeah.
love to do that.
Give me a few years at least before you ruin
That's true. The other thing is that I was kind of hoping to be able to play Khan's draft without auto picking all of the fetch lands, and now I have to.
I would have done it anyways. I just wouldn't
you
have
just
been
want
able
them.
not to do it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's really big news. But last thing we have to say is, we're going to talk more about Timeless in the future, so we're not going to get into it anymore in this episode because we have a lot of ground to cover. And as talking about things we're going to talk about in the future, the first look at the murders at Karlov Manor, which is the set that's coming out in February, came out this week as well. A lot of big stuff.
Lost Caverns just come out. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. We get like literally the alchemy cards for Lost Caverns of Ixalan came out last week. And then this week it's like everything else. And then there's a new set that it's as usual, it's a lot. Also, this happens around the holidays every time, and I just forget for some reason. They did this
Yeah,
with
same.
Kaldheim, which was like at the beginning of our podcast. Like literally they we recorded an episode that was coming out about like what we were guessing cards were gonna be for the
Yeah.
upcoming set. And then before we released that episode, they had previewed all the cards that made it all the things we said come true. And it made it look like we were
Yeah.
pretending that we were
Yeah,
ahead
I
of the
remember
curve. It was really
that.
awkward. Good thing
Yeah, it
nobody listened
was.
to it.
Yeah,
But
it's a good thing that was one of our first episodes, so.
anyway, if you want to go back and try to find that, don't. It's not really worth listening to. But anyway, let's get on with the rest of this episode. So,
Yes.
we are doing all story time stuff. It is our first sober Vorthos. So, hopefully we can keep this under 3 hours.
Snappy. Yeah.
Also with this episode, we have decided to try to focus a little bit more just around the story spotlight card. So we're taking a little bit of a different structure from our other Vorthos episodes. So
Yeah.
tell us what you think.
Try to limit the tangents.
I still feel like you're going to
Well,
pull me onto them. I will stay on track. Jeff will try to derail me. That's just how it goes.
that's the system.
That's the system. So here we go. We are getting into the story for Lost Caverns of Ixalan by Valerie Valdez. We have a new author. Yay!
Was noticeable, I thought.
It.
Like the style was very different.
Yeah. Which is great. But we also have all of our fun, normal, goofy magic story
Yeah,
stuff
oh, for
just
sure.
sprinkled in there, of course.
But I was like reading the first one, and then I was like, I'm gonna go check if this is the same author because it seems like a different author. And then it was. So I knew it was like,
And that's how you knew. Perfect. All right. So
tangible.
we have 6 episodes to get through tonight. So let's get cracking. Episode 1. We start off, we have three different stories we're going to be following, but the first one starts off with Quintorius, who has is still a planeswalker, planeswalks to Ixalan looking for something called like the Coin Empire that he's writing a research paper on. Something like that, because he's a whatever they're called.
Yeah, he's
Freaking,
like archaeologist,
yeah, he's an archaeologist.
historian kind of thing.
Yeah, what the hell is that? What are they called? The Boros and Strixhaven? That I completely.
Lorehold?
Lorehold, there you go. He's a Lorehold. So he's coming to do a paper on some sort of coin empire, which he believes is buried inside of Ixalan somewhere. He does
Yeah,
run
I think it has
into.
something to do with his personal past too, to some extent. I don't know
Right. I think
what
there's a
his
side story
history
about
is
it.
with the Coin Empire, but.
Yeah, he cares a lot about it. It also, I think, has something to do with the actual art. You know, like the alt art cards in Ixalan are all coins of different
Yeah.
things. I think that's,
Gotcha.
I'm
Right.
sure, has something to do with it. But he's quickly confronted by Weta, who is an ex-pirate. Now she is part of the Sun Empire with her like raptor pal Pantlaza, I think is the name of the raptor. And they end up just going to meet up with Whatley, which is what Quintorius was doing in the first place, looking for Whatley, because they met up at some point, or they know of each other. I think
He
Quintorius
knows
just,
Saheeli somehow,
yeah,
and
he like,
Saheeli is Whatley's partner.
yeah. He must have like called her up or something. It was like, "Hey,
Yeah.
can I come help?" Or looks at some stuff or do something, and she was like, "Yeah." We go to like some sort of camp ground area where Saheeli's there, and as well as Oh gosh, I'm gonna. This is the beginning of. There's a lot of names. So Caparoxy is also there, as well as Inti, who is Huatli's cousin, and they're all trying to figure out basically how to get past this door that they found buried in the ground.
Some sort of puzzle door, you may
Oh,
say.
interesting. Is that our first story spotlight? I think
I think it
so.
is.
So story spotlight number one is Araska puzzle door. While they're trying to figure out how to get inside, it's just the basic like, oh, Huatli, I think it's Huatli can decipher the hieroglyphics while Quint has studied the ancient language and so can translate it for them, which is funny because I feel like those would be opposite, that Huatli would know the language from her own plane and then Quintorius would know just basic puzzle
Yeah,
things. I don't
I
know.
didn't totally get it. Somehow Quintorius is able to help. Basically, it seems like something that Huatli could have just done.
By themselves.
But yeah, so there's some poems that Huatli has access to and translated because they're in the ancient language. And there's some sigils on the door. And you just have to like hit the sigils in the order that they, so you know, a sigil would be like strength. And then the first verse displays
There's
strength
something
of the
about that,
poem,
yeah.
and so you hit that one first. You just have to hit them in the right order.
Very video game-y. There's a lot
Yeah,
of this that feels like that.
it's like a video game puzzle. They can't really make it too hard because they need people that actually get through it, but
This so this reminds me exactly of the type of video game puzzle that I would fail miserably at because I did not read the instructions at the beginning, and then the person no longer will tell me the instructions once I skipped past them. That
Oh
is
yeah.
what this reminded me of. I'm just like walking around this stupid place for hours, just like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
What's with these stupid fucking glyphs on the
I
wall?
don't, yeah, get these out of here. Oh, I guess I can touch them. Oh, whatever. And then I solve it because they have different tones and I put it into a song on accident. That's basically how I would have solved that puzzle.
Meanwhile, I'm
Anyway.
like, couldn't they make these puzzles a little harder? Like, bing, 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 bing. Why do
It
they tell
takes
me exactly what to do?
me like 2.5 hours because I refuse to read. Anyway, so they're gonna go through their door. Saheeli also decides that she just doesn't want to come on the journey with
Just not
us.
going?
Yeah, she it's not important at all, and it doesn't exactly feel that important either. They don't really, it's just like, hey, we're gonna go explore, let's go do this. For some reason they want to go find this place. Like they don't really, they know that they're like on the brink of war with the Dusk Legion, but it doesn't really seem like they have thought that getting there faster is going to be better for them in this.
Well, Huatli said something about like it's not this door, but there's a door that leads to like the birth of humanity or like the origins of humanity or something. And then they're just like, ah. So Healy's
I don't need to go do
like,
that.
origins of humanity.
Yeah, so it seems more like something that's extracurricular and not like super urgent. So that's why Huatli's like, I'm gonna go keep working on my like raptor automaton things, my dino automaton, and you guys have fun.
Yeah, she's like, so I wonder if I can make it breathe fire. And then she
Yeah,
runs away.
exactly. Yeah, and you're like, you haven't already thought of that? Whatever. So then we jump over to our second storyline of the three storylines we have, which is the Dusk Legion vampires, which is kind of helmed, and the leader is Vito, who we know from Ixalan. He's that 2-4 with the Death Touch, who's just annoying as hell. I
Oh,
recently
he's
had one
the oh in like this set.
in this set, yeah.
We the one before he was from like some core set and he was a 1/3 that whenever you gained life, they lost that much life.
But he's also accompanied with Amalia, who we know is our she's the vampire with the glasses and the book, and she'll
Yeah,
be important
she
later.
explores whenever you gain life.
Yes. And then Bartolome, who's our Orzhov Uncommon, who can sacrifice creatures at will. And then Clavileño, who is just another vampire, who's from one of the like commander sets. I don't know much about him besides that. He seems evil, though. And they are searching for Aklazots to free him so they can bring, quote unquote, peace to their land. Remember, Aklazots is just like this like scary demon guy, who's also like a bat. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's like the bat god, and I guess he created vampires on Ixalan, or allegedly, and they sort of worship him, but they've moved away from him a little bit into their belief system is a little less like evil. They try to only feed on people who deserve it, kind of thing. And Vito does not care for that.
Yeah, exactly. So Vito and Clavileño are like full on, what the hell is happening? sorry. I don't know what's going on with the animations on my computer screen. Sometimes things just happen with my camera. I don't really understand. But anyway, so they're full on evil and they want to bring the god back. We don't quite know this yet, but we do know that they are on a separate mission than Elenda the Dusk Rose, who is back in the Dusk Legion, and she seems to be the new vampire world. She's part of like, you know, she would be one of the like Cullens in Twilight who like only eat animals. They're like good,
Exactly.
you know. They don't give in to their vampire ways and they're more sophisticated, let's say. They care about art and culture, while the other ones care about strength and blood. So they are in search of getting into the basically Aklazots is also inside our promised land, the birthplace, trapped. We need to go find him. They have a separate puzzle door. There's significantly easier. I would have been able
Much
to solve
easier,
this one immediately. This one would have been so easy for me to solve. I don't know if that says anything, but Jeff, how do they open this door? Like what goes on
yeah,
here?
so there's just an altar, and sort of it begs for a sacrifice. So they've pulled a bunch of humans along with them, and they just pick one, and they slit his throat, his blood spills all over the altar, and the door opens.
Important to note that Amalia does not like this very much, doesn't speak up, and Bartolome kind of gives her like a just don't say anything,
Be cool.
be cool. But I'm with you. I don't like this, but chill out. Also, Bartolome sacrifices people on his card. I'm confused why he's against the
I
sacrifice,
know.
but
I was like, what?
what?
Anyways.
Anyway, so that is story spotlight number two, fanatical offering. Where they sacrifice just some random porter who's carrying their stuff. He, let's see. It's important to note Vito is also wielding a book and a spear, and they happen to be Tarion's journal, which is the our cool black book that you can sacrifice artifacts or creatures to draw cards and do a bunch of cool other stuff. As well as Tarion's Soul Cleaver, which is a badass artifact equipment that cares about things dying and getting plus one counters and stuff. So he is using Tarion's journal to, it's like his map to get to Aklazots. It's the thing that's telling him how to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why he's the leader, because he's got the special book and the special spear. But in actuality, Vito, he's a real jerk. He's a.
Yeah, he reveals himself pretty quickly to not be great.
That's the end of episode one. Hooray!
Woo-hoo!
Let's keep on trucking. So, both of our parties are now inside the, like, they're closer to the door, the big door that we're trying to get to. So, this is episode two. There's a bunch of, like, this is a bit of a montage of, like, Indiana Jones style trap-like things that they have to get past to keep going. None of them are extremely important, I don't think. I don't
Yeah,
know if
I think one of
anything.
them, like the vampires have to go through some sand, but they don't know where, like they'll fall through the sand in certain spots, so they don't know where it'll hold them. And so they literally have one of them fly around and poke with a stick and like map out a path in the
To go
sand,
through.
like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just kind of like, oh, okay, this is like some hijinks and stuff, but it doesn't ultimately matter all that much. They run into some sort of like praying mantis things that they fight, and they get past them, and it's totally fine. The heroes go through some sort of green fog like thing, and they kind of jump on these like floating stones. It seemed like Indiana Jones in Last Crusade, where he has to spell out Yahweh or whatever to go through the stone pass, and if you step on the wrong one, it falls through. That type of deal. Not impressive, but anyway, just as far as like what I mean, sure, it's the whole story, but anyway, we do get to something that matters a bit more. Quint finds some bodies. There's a ton of just like skeletons around, and he sees one that I believe is wearing a poncho, and he's like looking at different bones, and he ends up like licking one to make sure it is in fact bones.
Which, yeah, he confirms it's bone.
Which seemed quite strange.
Yeah.
That he is just like does he have like special taste so he can like identify objects? I guess so. It's like that, I don't know, maybe it's the same thing as when you're, I don't know, Jeff, if is this a thing that you do when you're a parent? This was in a movie, what's this, Knocked Up or something, where the mom is like, is it poop or chocolate? Is it poop or chocolate? And then she licks it and she's like, it's chocolate. And then they go.
Yeah, I would
And
never do
it's like,
that.
what if it was poop? Like what? That type of thing where Quint like, yeah, is this bones or a rock? And then you lick it, oh, it's bones. And he's like,
My
what?
bone, yeah.
Also, how many bones have you licked? Is this like a weird, I don't know. I know you're like lore hold or whatever, but like, is there a bone licking class that you identify
Yeah,
things by
exactly.
taste? Anyway, just like it seems
I thought
strange
that
that
tasted like bone, you idiot.
yeah I guess to be fair most people know what bones taste like because they've had ribs at one point in their life or like fish with bones in it, and so okay, I guess
Right.
that's not that weird, but they're
It's still weird.
dusty, it's pretty
It's weird.
weird. I don't know what human bones taste like, but I'm sure they're the same as other bones.
If you
But
can't tell just from looking at it, don't lick it.
that's
That's
true.
all I'm gonna
Just
say.
don't start there. He also has like a bunch of spells and stuff, so he could have. Anyway, he does end up using a spell.
On the
He
poncho.
on the poncho, and we get story spotlight number three, which is Abuelo's Awakening. Jeff, tell us about Abuelo.
Yeah, so it's this like ghostly spirit, kind of like translucent, bluish thing. And they're like, hey, what's your name, man? And he says, I don't know. And then Waiter said, oh, he looks like my abuelo. And then he's like, that's it. They called me Abuelo.
And we stick with
So
that.
that's his name now.
So that's his name now. And he likes it and he's totally fine with it. Which is great because this was a big talk at the beginning of the set when Abuelo's actual card was first spoiled. And I was also on the they really just named somebody Grandpa. But no, it makes a lot more sense in the context of well, you can call me that because somebody called me that at one point and I've been dead for a while and can't really remember what my name is anymore. He also has a kipu with him. I don't know if we talk about it right now, but it's I think it's some sort of like belt or oh, did I do the thing again? Okay. He has some, it's like a beaded sort of like braided thing. I'm actually not 100% sure or accurate on what that is. But anyway, it will become important later. All right, so we jump back to our villains, we're going to call them our vampire folks, even though they're all not all horrible. But they see a man who's getting attacked by like these goblin things or something, like dungeon or not dungeon, like deep cavern goblins or whatever. And Amalia has a really interesting way of saving the man there, which I don't know why she didn't use this before, but Jeff, what is Amalia? What are her powers? What does she do?
So she's there to sort of basically create maps of their expedition. So what she can do is like mix her blood with ash and then put it on a blank piece of paper, and then it just kind of maps out the whole area. So she's kind of walking around, stabbing herself in the finger and fixing it with ash and then mapping as they go. But apparently, she can also, once she has that map of the area, she can then make changes to it. So she can use her finger blood ash to personalize this map, and then that will become reality. So the goblins are chasing this man, and she just makes like a big chasm between the goblins and him. He almost falls in, but he manages to
Not.
grab the edge just in time, and then all the goblins do the like cartoon thing where they run over the edge and uh-oh, and then they
And then
just
they look
fall
down.
straight down.
And they're like, oh no. And then Amalia's powers to change the map of the world and her surroundings seem extremely powerful and underused.
Yeah, they just like don't. Everyone's just like, okay, she could do that, I guess. And I'm like, I'd be
Yeah.
like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're gonna solve every single problem we run into.
So we didn't have to kill that guy. You could have just erased the door. We didn't
Yeah.
have to worry about the quicksand because you could have just made it concrete. Like,
Yeah.
so you can just manipulate everything. I guess she only has so much blood in her, but like, still, come on. Like, she's
Yeah,
just
just
breaking her
eat one of
finger.
the porters. They know
Yeah.
you're there.
I guess then you might as
There's
well
your
just
porter
kill.
sacrifice.
Yeah. I guess I was trying to avoid the sacrifice, but I guess that works. Anyway,
Well, you don't have to kill him, I guess. Just suck a little blood, you know.
That's true. Yeah, just a little suck. No. Anyway, so they save the man and he runs over and he turns out to be Kellen. Hey, I remember Kellen. He was from the last story, but he's with the bad guys? What? I thought he was a good guy. Anyway, Vito doesn't just immediately kill him, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And basically Amalia decides to take her under her wing and say like she'll take care of him. So Vito's like, fine, whatever, you can have your little boy pet, I guess. They have some sort of instant connection, I guess, that I don't know, she can sense the innocence in him, even though he's like a little bit better than he was in the last story. He seems a bit older.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I was gonna say he's less green, but actually in this set he's more green than he was before. But anyway,
Oof. Yeah.
and he's now part of the group. So, hooray for
Yay.
Kellen! Yay!
Yeah.
Let's keep on trucking. So, episode number three. Sweet. So the Sun Empire people, our heroes, are running after Abuelo because he is just all of a sudden running away from them, talking about like something about this, like there's a Titan that's a oh right, now I remember, sorry, my notes were not as clear as I remembered. So he remembers basically what happened to him. He was going out, he remembers something about the some sort of spores or something that they're trying to keep out of his home plane or home plane homeland, which is the birthplace of humanity on this plane. He's like an original member there, and they had come out to try to make sure that this force was not going to penetrate their home. And then he basically remembers something, runs away, and then they run into a giant titan of some kind that they have to like
Yeah.
fight off. And
He's just like, oh shit, I forgot, I gotta go warn them. Even though, he's been dead a very long time.
Yes.
They probably already know, or
We're
it's not an
dead.
issue. But anyways, he feels like he needs to warn them, so he just takes off and he's like going down all these corridors, left, right, here and there. I don't know if you ever played the Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
But
The
when you
most.
get the hook sh the when you get the hook shot, there's this like ghost that you have to keep up with or whatever, and then he gives it to you and he's just like cutting down. He looks like an old dead grandpa and he's like floating around. He's just going down all these paths. There's all these like, again, Indiana Jones style obstacles that he just floats right through, but you have to.
Yeah, jump
This is what
around.
I was imagining they're doing,
Oh,
but
gotcha.
I was like, I've definitely done that. I've played this level before. It's it's tricky, guys. It's tricky. And so they're following this crazy abuelo who's going all these directions, and then they run right into a titan. is what they were called it. It's basically like a big ol' hulking spore mushroom thing. It's like some sort
Yes.
of mushroom creature.
Which is the first time we see them, and this is the thing that they're Abuela was tr originally trying to keep out of the birthplace of the humanity. Yes. They
And they're
seem pretty.
fighting this thing, and it is not going well because it is basically immune to everything they do. They like cut off its arm or slash at its ankles or whatever, and it just doesn't care, and it just keeps going.
Yeah. And then they kind of look behind them and they see a bunch of merfolk are around out of like the pool behind them, and they're like, "Hey, come with us. You're not going to be able to defeat this. Come our way and go into the water." And so then the merfolk, the river heralds, cast like a bubble charm on their faces, like in Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly like
Yeah.
that.
So they just have like a a big bubble of air so they can breathe when they go underwater and go get saved, because the spores don't go underwater, I guess. And we learn that right now, and it doesn't ever come up again.
Just doesn't matter.
Feels like it could be really helpful, actually, but nope. All right. We get into this whole bit with the vampires and the Malamet cat people. That
Yeah,
really
this
just
was,
doesn't matter.
yeah, this was like I don't know, sort of a MacGuffin type deal where they're like, how do we get the vampires in the same spot as the Sun Empire folks?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, maybe they meet some cat people and the cat people throw them in quicksand. It's like,
Yeah.
yeah, that's the easiest
That's
way. Okay,
perfect.
then.
Yeah, so that's exactly what happens. They get captured by these cat people. Vito doesn't immediately try to kill all of them. Something's bubbling inside him. You know he wants to kill some people real soon, because it's been like a couple hours and he hasn't killed
At
anybody. So
least, yeah.
it's he's getting into a threshold of like somebody's got to die soon. But they kind of try to negotiate with them. Bartolome and Amalia are trying to talk with these cat people, and they're just not having it. They're like, you know what? Fuck you guys. Go into our sand pit. So they get thrown into a whirlpool of quicksand, which is not our story spotlight. I think it should be, but quicksand whirlpool is exactly what this is. And
When I read this, I was like, oh, that's definitely got to be the story spotlight card for this. It
it's
literally
just
shows a vampire getting eaten by the quicksand whirlpool.
nope, no story spotlight. But that does happen. Surprisingly, no one seems to be that worried about it. I guess. Like Amalia just kind of like jumps in as like, and she just looks at Kellen and is like, hold your breath. And he's like, okay.
As though she knows something, and then we find out from her perspective that she just doesn't. She's just like,
Yeah. She's not super sure, but she also isn't super sure if she could just like, because like, do vampires actually have to breathe? Like, they don't have to breathe. They don't need air. Like Soren got stuck in the rock forever. I guess maybe his face was out of the rock, so it wasn't that bad.
oh man, that'd be brutal.
But in a lot of those things, like Interview with the Vampire, there's a part where one of the characters gets like held upside down and like bricked into a wall in the cellar, like that story, the Count of Monte Cristo, and you would run out of air, and it wasn't so much that he was gonna die from running out of air, is that he was gonna live forever upside down, and that was gonna suck. Like, so maybe they're just gonna fall into sand and just be stuck in sand for eternity and just be like,
That
oh
sounds
man.
brutal.
And
I
then
would be way more worried about that than dying.
I guess it's not so much the air. I guess they would run out of blood because you need to eat at some point. But still, you'd just be really weak for a really long time and slowly starve to death, and take a really long time. Anyway, that's not what happens, but it seems like that's running through Amalia's mind, being like, is this gonna happen? I don't know. I'm not, whatever.
Oh well, can't do anything about it now. It's like, yes, you
Yeah.
can. Just use your fucking map.
Yeah, just use the map. I don't know. Instead of just like jumping in. But anyway, everything is fine. They all fall out. It just kind of straight into a big pool of water that's at the bottom of this sand fountain thing. I don't know. How much sand was in this? Did all the sand leave? Could they look back up and see the cat people looking down on them? Like,
And I was thinking, like, this is cat people, right? So is this where they
is
like go to the bathroom and
oh,
then it just like falls through the sand into their sewers, which is where the
okay,
merfolk
will
live?
live. So you're literally
Like, dude, what the fuck?
so Malamet, they say they threw them into their sandbox, which was like then churning the sand or their litter box. Oh, that's gross. Oh, that's so gross. Anyway, so they fall into the water and do like one of the stupidest things ever. Basically, they get captured once again by the River Herald. So this is like the second time they've been captured since they've been on this journey. Ambushed for the third time because technically the goblins were ambushing them as well. And then I had to stop. So when they land in the water and like they're surrounded and everything, they're all going like, oh fuck, now I have to deal with these people. And Vito's trying to not kill them so he can get to where he needs to be. And then Kellen's just splashing Amalia with water. He's like, hey, yeah, gotcha. Is this a fun adventure we're on, my new friend that I have a crush on? Oh God, Kellen doing stupid Kellen stuff again. I was just like, what the hell is
Kellen,
this?
you're captured for the third time today, man.
And you're having like a water fight with a vampire? Come on, what? What do you read the room, buddy? And like, are you just happy that you're like alive? I don't know.
Meanwhile, Vito definitely wants to murder somebody.
Yeah, and
Like,
he's really hoping to murder you, and you're being
nope.
really annoying about it. But Amalia's keeping you alive, I guess. I don't know. It was just so stupid. I was frustrated. Anyway, so we are now at the point where it's episode 4, and our two groups have now joined. They're with the River Herald. In the place where they had fallen into the water, our Sun Empire folks were already there, and there's like kind of steps to this platform, and then there's just this giant door there. And it's a door that the River Herald has never been able to open before. It's just there, but they know it's really important, and so they like guard it, I guess. It's what everybody's looking for all
They've
the
like set
time.
up some huge camp around it, like the biggest
Yeah.
merfolk camp that exists at this point. They're all there and they're just waiting for this door to be opened.
Yeah. And that is story spotlight number 4, which is Matslanti, the Great Door. Yeah, this door must be pretty important, huh? Though it is our second door like spotlight card, so it feels like it's not that important. You know. I guess this is the great one and it's like cool or whatever, but it's just really funny that that's like there's a lot of doors. Anyway.
So now everyone's here, the whole gang, except the pirates. So there's dinosaur people, there's the
Vampires.
vampires, and there's the merfolk. They all want to get through this door. We don't really know why the merfolk want to get through the door, but Quatley's basically curious, and then Vito wants to resurrect an old demon bat god and plunge the world into eternal darkness.
Yeah.
So they
I
all have their
don't
reasons.
Yeah. And you know, he's being very vague. He's saying that they're on a pilgrimage for something and everyone's like, "Okay, that
Yeah,
makes
a
sense."
religious
Yeah,
pilgrimage.
but everyone fucking knows about the Bat God. Like, oh, there's some vampires interested in like a pilgrimage. I wonder if they're going to the Bat God that created all the
Yeah, I'd be
vampires.
like, that didn't seem great.
But to be fair, that was a long time ago, and it seems like the River Herald don't super like they don't seem to know everything about what goes on the other side of this. The Sun Empire almost have more information. Actually, I don't really know if anybody knows anything about it. Maybe Amalia.
And the Sun Empire and the Dusk Legion, vampires and the
Yes.
dinosaur people, are sort of on the brink of war.
Yes.
When Phyrexia invaded, they were all just like, "Dah, we got to fight this, put our differences aside." And now that the invasion is fought off, they're back, kind of starting to be like, "Should we keep killing the people we were trying to kill before? Should we be still be friends?" Seems like they're going to land on killing each other.
Yeah, it's also very obvious that like you can tell by the cards and everything, and this was true the first time, that the vampires are like they're all conquistadors and they're all like conquering native land, and the Sun Empire are the natives to that land.
They
So
don't
it's,
love it.
yeah, so that's the main conflict between them, which makes a lot of sense. Very obvious. But it's funny because there are Dusk Legion folks that are like trying to be nice, and Vito is just the one that's like, actually, fuck all you guys. I'm gonna eat all of you slash turn all of you into vampires or whatever. So it's like
I'm gonna
on
do
that.
whatever I want because I am the chosen of Aklazots.
Yeah, all that. Anyway, we're looking
Because I
at this.
found this old book.
Yeah, it's mine. It's my book. Yeah, he we will get him talking to himself about that every once in a while, and there's like some of those bits actually I felt like when Amalia is second guessing her this pilgrimage and everything, it makes more sense. When Vito is second guessing things, it feels very disingenuous. I'm like, I don't really believe you. You're never gonna get me on your side, bro. Like, I don't really know why we're trying to do that at all, actually.
That was strange.
It just there's just some parts where it's like I feel like if we're ever inside your head, it should just be like, I'm doing this and it makes the most sense and I'm convincing myself and everyone that this is the best thing to do. Instead of being like, oh, is this okay? I don't really know. So anyway, we have a great door and we're trying to solve it, and classic everybody, you know, Whatley and Quint being like, hey, we just saw a door like this. Let's try the same thing on this one. Maybe there's some poems or maybe some, you know, images or whatever. But they just have no idea what to do.
So they ask Abuela
Yeah.
because Abuela is from the people on the other side of that door. He clearly crossed through it at some point, and his quipu, which is some sort of like, I'm looking at it now, it's basically like strings with knots that they use to communicate or like have information somehow. So it can represent numbers based on where you not put knots on
Got
different
it.
things. So it's like an old Mayan sort of abacus kind of deal, but it's like a more like a belt with ropes coming off and they're knotted in different areas.
Right, that makes sense.
Anyways, that is somehow a key. Basically, he had a key so that he could get back in.
Makes sense.
He obviously never ended up using it, but he still has it with him. So yeah, he kind of just opens the door
He
for them.
just
They have to
opens the
do
door.
like one small step after he gets them like 95% of the way there, if I remember correctly. But
Yeah.
essentially, they ask him, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I have a key," and he opens the door.
And they're like, oh, cool. Thanks, ghost friend guy.
Yeah, whew, good thing we happened to, find your poncho.
And then we open the door, and it reveals story spotlight number 5, which is the core, which is also the opposite of the great door that we just had. Sorry, the flip side, the transform side. And we look out. Holy shit, there's a whole sun in here. What? It's bright as day. It's a whole world inside this place. So, Jeff, I have a question for you. In this world where we walk out of this door and we're inside a giant circle, or a sphere, I guess, and there's in the middle is a sun that's shining on everything. How does gravity work? Do you think you could just walk all the way up to the seemingly top, which is also the bottom, if you're there and everyone looks up? So you could look up at someone and they could be looking up at you, but really it's down. It doesn't seem like that's like that. When I was thinking more about it, I was like, I think that makes sense. But then when they're actually in the world, it doesn't really seem like that's part of it
They're
at
not really
all.
doing that yet. Maybe it's just too big for that. Like,
Like you can't
I don't
actually
know.
see that far. Like it's, I mean, it's, I'm sure it's huge. So like you can just see the sun and then there's like kind of foggy, like you can't really see all the way to the other side. But feasibly you could fly, if you could fly up
It hit the ceiling.
to go, but you'd then at some point kind of flip around and then land. Anyway, I was thinking about the whole time being like, this is the physics is so
how
weird.
does this
How
work?
does this work? Anyway, so we are now in our promised land. Hooray. Inside of Ixalan.
the people who live there are like, who the fuck just opened our door?
Yeah, this door hasn't been opened in 1,000 moons or something.
So Anim Pakal runs over and is like, who the hell are you?
And so Anim Pakal is that the 1/5 blue creature that cares about artifacts. I believe that this is story spotlight number 6, which is family reunion. It's the only point that really kind of makes sense for it, because it seems like Whatley and Anim are like saying hello to each other for the first time, and they're just based on the flavor text of the actual card. But I can't really tell. But
Well, so Anim is the red white one that like gets counters and makes gnomes and stuff.
oh, Akal Pakal is the blue one. Sorry.
Yeah. And
So
I think
that
this family reunion is when they meet Akal.
Akal Pakal. You're right, you're
Yeah.
right.
They're sisters. And anyways, Anim is the one that runs over, is like, who are you? And they're like, hey, you're like, you are sort of our ancestors. Weirdly.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we're vampires. We're here because we love Aklazots. And they're like, the betrayer god? Well, no, that's not cool. We're gonna put you in jail.
And so they do. So they take all the vampires in Kellen and throw them in jail. Because
Love how
obviously,
Kellen just gets chucked in there too, because he's
but
like,
he's
I'm gonna
also
meet
just,
these vampires. And they're
he's like,
like, betrayer god.
yeah, but he's like totally fine with it and just like playing along and like isn't scared or anything. God, he's. I will say that it's nice that Kellen is just kind of there. I'm happy that he's not just like one of the main characters who's like driving the story.
Oh, yeah, he
Which I was.
basically does nothing.
He does really nothing besides just be, I don't know, Amalia's like little boy toy. He's like a fuck boy now, I guess. Anyway,
I guess so. Yeah,
kind
that's the
of.
stage of his life he's in.
Or suck boy, because she's probably
Oof.
drinking him.
I don't like that at all. Don't.
So they are now in prison, and then we're gonna do the family reunion with Akal Pakal. But and so that kind of happens, and we meet her. It actually is totally fine. It doesn't really seem like a huge big deal. They don't have really extreme important things to say, at least in my mind. But as we are in jail, Vito's like fucking furious, and he's just like, I want to get out of this fucking place. I don't need to worry about any of this. Let's go. We're here. Let's go to Aklazotz and fulfill our destiny. And so they look at Amalia and they're like, can you please get, this is why you're here. And this is the first time where it feels like it's like forced on her, which is great because she should have been doing this the whole time. And so she just erases the jail cell, essentially. And they just walk out and it's totally fine and nobody even notices.
And then I don't know, but more sacrifices are needed. This Aklazotz guy really requires sacrifices at all times. Vito's like, well, we have Kellen, good thing he came with us. He's not a vampire. Let's sacrifice him. And Amalia's kind of like, well, that's my suck boy. So, no.
You can't kill my suck boy.
And then Vito's like, I'm the chosen of Aklazotz. I can do whatever I want. I found this old book. Didn't I tell you about the old book that I found? They're like, yes. Oh my God, Vito, you told us about the fucking book. So, Vito's going to come and kill Kellen, whether Amalia likes it or not. And Bartolomé leaps into action to fight, take Vito on, and it gives Kellen and Amalia time to escape. But he doesn't give them much time because Vito kind of kills him immediately. He just like grabs his head and snaps his neck.
So Bartolome is dead. He was our next sacrifice, which he did not really offer himself up willingly. It looked like it was going to be some sort of fight. No. Yeah, he
Yeah,
was.
it was building up because they've kind of been disagreeing with each other the whole time, and Vito keeps being like, "Dude, disobey me again." And so I thought this was going to be like a momentous, a big thing, battle for control of the Dusk Legion pilgrimage here. And no, it's literally like a 2 second fight.
Yeah, it's literally just you are the worst, which is hilarious. So the cards, Bartolome sacrifices other things to make himself stronger. That's not what he does. He actually gets sacrificed to make somebody else get closer to being strong. Which is hilarious because when you have Bartolome and Vito on the battlefield in the new set, they're perfect for each other. They work so well together.
Such a combo.
And in fact, they do not work well together flavor-wise. Anyway, Amalia and Kellen have escaped now, and they are safe. They are the only good people left from that now that Bartolome is dead. So now the vampires are full on evil, and we don't like them at all because we like Amalia and her suck boy. And they run back to the Thousand Moons folks, the Sun Empire, and all of them.
Now, the interesting thing is, like, the Thousand Moon folks are somehow the ancestors of the Sun Empire. I guess some of them left, got sealed outside the door, clawed their way up to the surface, and started their Sun Empire thing there. But the Thousand Moons, like, in the core, they're just way more technologically advanced. They have like gnomes, and they have, different things that they've built, and like there's just machinery and metal everywhere. It's just like, so I guess this happened after people got separated and went up, and then.
Yeah, they must have. It's something to do with their sun. So, the core, the sun, Chimil, that is the source of one of their powers, and it is a sphere that is pulled apart. So if you look at it, it's like kind of, it has a tail, but it can be like pushed back together into a circle or something. It's not
Yeah, it
exactly
has some like trailing metal
bits
fragments that can
to
be
it.
assembled into a sphere that can surround the sun and block it out.
Yeah, I guess.
I
But
guess they want night or something. I don't know.
maybe it does go into night every. We don't actually know a lot about this. But
Yeah,
yes, they are
they
more.
leave a lot unsaid
Yes.
about this civilization.
They are more technically advanced, and there are these they have these purple, pinky purple crystal things that they wear and they use, and they're present in a lot of their stuff. I'm sure that a lot of their power is from that. It's essentially like vibranium in Wakanda. They're kind of like that, the untouched civilization that is better than everybody else. Okay, they also ride bats, so that's
Yeah, so
cool.
they like rode in on bats. We're like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Which seems odd given that they hate the bat god.
Yeah, right? There's like good bats that still look like bats, that they ride all the time. Oltec, that's what they are. They're the Oltec peoples. All right. Let's go to episode number five.
Let's do it.
So Amalia and Kellen now run up to the Sun Empire folks and explain everything that happened. They're bad, not us. We're good. They suck. And everyone's like,
Although I did break them out of your prison.
yes. And also your prison, the wall's not broken, but erased. I think
It's
that's
just
okay.
like not there. I
Yeah.
hope that's cool.
You have bigger things to worry about, though. Vito now gets brought to Akhlazatz by the believers. So he went to like the altar to do the sacrifice. We failed to mention that there are some people part of the like threefold sun folks. I don't know what to call them. That's what's confusing. They're like Oltec, threefold sun, and thousand moons. It's all part of this place that we are now. But for whatever reason, I feel like I
Whereas
just
the
don't.
threefold sun, I thought it was the surface folk because they have like the
But they're the Sun
threefold.
Empire. I thought the Threefold Sun was like the ancestors of the Sun Empire. And that's why they were down
Oh,
there.
I was thinking it was the Sun Empire, and then the Oltec have just the one sun or something. So they're, I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyways,
I'm a little shaky on
they just
those.
start using stuff like that, and you're like, well, who is this referring to?
Yeah, I'm kind of confused.
But basically, in the core is where vampires originated as well, and Akhlazatz. They eventually banished Akhlazatz, but some people still worship him there. They kind of skulk around in the shadows of this
Yeah.
core place. And so, Amalia and Kellen are like, we have to stop them. Do you know where Akhlazatz is imprisoned? And they're just like, oh, Actually, no,
Yeah.
we just kind of like forgot. We imprisoned him.
Somewhere.
And then we're
But
just like, yeah, it's sure that's fine. Let's just leave that alone and
it was a
forget about
long.
it over time.
Yeah, it's kind of like if someone told me that there was like a bat god in like the Lincoln Memorial or something. And I'd be like, it's somewhere around here. It's one of those
Yeah,
things.
like you'll find it. Yeah.
I don't remember which one it is though. It was so long ago. I didn't do it. It was like my
Yeah.
grandma's grandma, somebody.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention in class when we talked about it that one day.
But they're like, let's hope they don't meet, these original followers of Aklazatz, because they'll definitely know where he's imprisoned, because
Yeah.
they kind of care. We've stopped caring a long time ago.
Yeah. It turns out that Vito texted those folks while they were in
Yeah.
jail, and he met
Yeah.
up with them.
Yeah,
So.
immediately. Like, there's literally no time lapse between them being like, I hope they don't meet up with the original followers. And then it cuts to Vito, and he's like being led by the original followers right
Yeah.
to Aklazatz.
Oh yeah, that is another thing that we forgot to mention is that there is Amalia has been hearing voices in her head since she's been getting closer and closer to the core, which she believes is Aklazatz calling to her. Because she does believe in Aklazatz too. It's not like she thinks that Aklazatz is bad. She believes that
She's
he
starting to wonder though,
she's
because
starting
she's
to
like,
wonder if he is actually bad or not, but her entire life she believed that he was
from watching
righteous.
Vito.
Yeah. And then Vito was feeling self-conscious because he was like, can she hear the voices too? Because I can hear them and I'm the chosen one. But if she hears the voices too, am I not the chosen one? Except for I feel like he wouldn't really think that. But
No,
that's just my own.
Aklazatz is like, it was a mass text. It was a group message. Everyone, select
It's
all.
so
Anyone who can come get me.
Aklazatz has an iPhone, but everyone else has an Android, so they only get it in its individual texts. But he thinks that everyone is getting it and it's in
Yeah,
one
he
group
just said
chat.
sent all.
Yeah.
And whoever shows up, he'd be like, you are my chosen. I
Yeah,
chose you. I
exactly.
knew you would be able to do it.
Classic. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the when you ask your wife where she wants to go to dinner
Yeah.
and she says or she's like, where are we gonna go to dinner? And you say, guess, and then she guesses, and the first place she says, you're like, yeah, that's where we're going.
That was my plan.
That's the plan. Same type of thing. That's what Aklazatz knows it from the get-go.
Yeah, he's been around the block a few
Yeah, he
times. He
knows.
knows the tricks.
All right. So first things first, we are going to find Aklazatz. We basically get to this thing. I think Vito has to like stick his arm into something that like says he's good enough. And then all the other
Yeah.
guys are like, wow, I guess he's good enough. Yeah, we can let him in.
Oh, okay, cool.
So he goes in with Clavileño, and I like Aklazatz is like there, right?
I guess all the original followers were never like, why couldn't they just walk? Anyways, Vito can just like stick his arm through something, it hurts a bit, and then he can walk in.
I think it's just because he's a vampire, and they're like, it's like a hand scan being like, are you a vampire? Yes. And the followers are like, finally, we have some of these cool vampires I've been
Oh,
reading about
finally,
in my
yes.
Twilight books.
Which makes no sense because it's a prison. So it's like, why would you make the prison openable by his
His
things that
people.
he created? Like, it should be you are Thousand Moon or Sun. Like, you are one of
Yeah.
the prisoners.
Other
Anyways.
people, you have to have a purple thing. You have to have like a ghost key. I don't know.
Yeah,
There's like,
exactly. You need a Kipu ghost key.
yeah, I don't really know. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? It's almost like what a vampire actually imprisoned him in the place. It's
I
like
guess.
Alenda's like long ancestor is like, oh, you know what? He's too much. Let's close him up. I don't really
Yeah,
know.
this guy's kind of a dick.
Didn't really think about it, but anyway, he's in there and seemingly just kind of like, I don't know, like bat cocooned, you know? It just
Yeah.
seems like he's like, I'm so weak, I need the blood. Did you bring me
Yeah.
the blood? And well, they did. There's a lot more sacrifices that go on just so
Yeah.
he can
They
grow
just like
stronger.
throw him one at a time and he just kind of eats them.
Yep. Just like
And
some
then
little
he just
snacks.
rips out of his chains because he's now strong enough.
Yep. That's all you had to do. See, he was stuck in there forever and just slowly starving away over thousands of years. But because he's a vampire, I guess he survives. Just need a little bit more blood. With that, he also puts like his fangs into Vito and Clavileño to be like, thank you, vampire guys. Here you go. And he stabs them. And then we get story spotlight number 7, canonized in blood. So now Vito and Clavileño have sick vampire bat powers. So now they're like bat vamps.
Yeah, they like grow these big disgusting bat wings and like get these big disgusting bat claws, and I think it says their face kind of becomes more bat-like as well.
Yeah, but like in all the pictures we've seen, they look exactly the
It's just
same.
their
They just have
normal head,
wings. Yeah. But anyway,
So anyways,
they're
they become these grotesque bat people
yeah.
amalgam things.
And they can fly, which is awesome. So now Aklazotz flies up, and the first thing he decides to do is, hey, that sun thing, fuck that sun. Let's make it dark. And he has extra sets of bat wings, I guess. So he has the two that he's flying with, and then he has another thing that like scoops up Chamil and like closes it up. So it's dark now.
So I thought, like, because Chamil has all those metal pieces, I thought he like used his powers to somehow force those metal pieces to come around and like block it or
I guess
something.
that does make sense. It
But then
does
I was
bring
like, why
us
are those metal pieces there? Anyways.
it does bring us to story spotlight number 8, which is Malicious Eclipse, which
Yeah.
he is
This
like,
definitely looks like he's doing it somehow.
yeah,
Well,
no, actually, I think you're right. He is carrying Chamil that he's put back, like pieced together, like squished, and then he
right.
has some other things that are holding it. For whatever reason, when I was originally looking at this picture, it looked like the entire thing was his bat wings that had like weird
Right.
holes in them. But now that I look at it more carefully, yeah, I think he's just like he smushed the Chamil into a ball again and is just holding it.
Yeah.
However, it is a little bit too heavy, so he does immediately fall to the earth. And
Yeah, so he just plummets, and he's like, "More blood."
Blood, I need the blood, Vito. Give me the blood. And so Vito's like, cool, let's go find some more sacrifices for my god. Yes, my god, I will. That's Vito.
"For I am your chosen." I don't know if I've mentioned that yet, but I believe I am the chosen of Aklazotz.
I am. So now we cut back to Inti, who's asking Huatli for a poem before they rush into battle, because they've been watching all of this stuff happen. They're like, shit's going down, we're gonna fight. And Inti's like, finally, let's fight. I can't wait to do this. And apparently, yeah, because Quatli's like a warrior poet, and so in their culture there's a lot of like reciting that gets people amped. None of Quatli's poems seem that
They definitely
inspiring.
would not amp me up before a
No.
battle. No.
No. They also just in general seem to fall flat for me, but I'm also not huge into poetry, so I think that could also be part of it. But sorry, Whatley. It never seems all the poems you've ever written, they seem kind of mid to me.
Well, at some point, there's a comment that her cousin stole that title for her or something. So maybe it checks
That's
out that
true.
her poetry is not actually that good.
Yeah, that is true. Weta's seeing all this, and she's seeing all the bats flying in the air, and she's like, holy Jesus. She gets on a bat and she's flying in the air too. So now we have the Olmec folks, or whatever they're called, on bats that are good fighting vampire bats that are bad.
Right.
A little confusing.
This seemed insane to me. It's like, I'm gonna go fight the bat god who has just been released from his bat god prison. How am I gonna do that? I'm gonna ride a bat.
Yeah,
Are you
to go.
crazy?
No, I don't get it. Also, like,
Spoiler alert, it does not become a problem. It just doesn't matter. The bats are not loyal to the bat
yeah, the good bats are just,
god.
they have just like turned, they're just regular bats, except for they're
They're just
huge because you
big
could sit
ass
on them.
bats.
So while this is happening, Weta looks down back at the door that they had come out of earlier, which the great door, and she sees a bunch of, well, first she sees a siren and a goblin run out slash fly out, and then behind them there is just a whole fuck ton of mushrooms and
Yeah.
weird sprawling things, fungus, you could say.
Yeah.
That's so weird. What is all this? All of a sudden there's a bunch of fungus blasting in here. That seems weird. And as she says that, it's just kind of like, oh, here comes trouble. I just wanted to point this out because it was, I just thought this line was just ridiculous. Where Weta mutters to herself, "It always rains when it's wet," which is just trying to say, when it rains, it
It rains, it
pours.
pours. Yeah.
But it's just like, oh God, oh, what
It also
is?
doesn't make any sense. So.
It always rains when it's basically like it always rains when it's already wet, like you when you don't need the rain, it rains more. I think that's what they're trying to get
Yeah.
at. But like,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's not very good.
I get what you're doing, but this is Magic Story like faux pas to me. You're like trying to shove our I don't know,
Yeah.
sayings into stuff. All right. So you may have remembered at the beginning, I was talking about the three different storylines that we had. We only talked about two of them. That is because I wasn't sure if this storyline actually mattered or not, because
Yeah.
it does not display it on any of the story spotlight cards at all. We don't have very
I'm
many
still not sure
depictions.
because it sort of doesn't, but I don't know. They're here now, so.
They're
They
here
do
now.
coalesce with the main storyline, but it also doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. But let's, Jeff, do you want to just do a quick recap of what
Yeah.
happens with our siren and our goblin pirate?
So Malcolm is sent by the Brazen Coalition, the pirates, to investigate because a mine that was very lucrative for them has since stopped like communicating with them at all. So they're just not hearing from the mine. They're not getting any gold or any minerals from these miners. And so Malcolm is dispatched with a crack team of investigative pirates to figure out what the hell happened there. This includes his goblin pal Breeches and then a bunch of unfortunate fellows who go along with them. They show up, nobody's there. It's like a ghost town. So they just keep going down elevators deeper and deeper and deeper. Until eventually they find these like dinosaurs that are co absolutely covered in like mushrooms and spores and like they're disgusting. They run the hell away from those things, but a few pirates get infected on the way, and then they don't think it's a big deal. Obviously it is, and basically all the pirates except Malcolm and Breeches get infected with this thing. Malcolm and Breeches manage to escape. And then there's this weird, like, glowing green thing that says it's safe down because they run back up. So, like, fuck this. And then there's this growing green light that's like, don't worry, it's safe down here. And so they're like, oh, cool. And then they jump back down. It was not safe. But, anyways, they go back down and they meet the Mycotyrant. And the Mycotyrant is basically this. The leader or the hive mind of this colony of fungus that has been infecting the pirates and infected the pirates because it just wanted to learn more about them. They delved too deep and met this mycotyrant. And the mycotyrant is after the sun because he has wanted to gain access to Chimil forever, but this is the enemy that the people that live in the core. Sealed the core off from. This was what they were afraid of, was the Mycotyrant and his legions and legions of spores that will it's one of those, impossible armies to beat because everyone it kills gets added to its ranks.
It's like the Phyrexians.
Yeah, just like the Phyrexians, but like they're mushrooms.
So, yes. We meet the Mycotyrant, basically Breeches and Malcolm. Run around, and eventually they through all this, Breeches keeps talking about the big boom, and Malcolm's like, "No, we can't use that yet. It'll kill us," as a way to fight off these mushroom people. And somehow they find their way to the great door, and they run right inside, being like, up here is safe, probably. And then all the spores follow them in, and they lead them directly to where the Mycotyrant was trying to go the whole time. And now we're caught up.
So
Perfect.
that's the Siren and the Goblin and the impossible tide of mushrooms behind them. They are now entered the fray.
So now we have to fight off the mushroom spore army as well as the vampire bat people. Things don't look super great.
Yeah. Luckily, the Thousand Moons or the Otlek, people have literally been preparing for this fight with the Mycotyrant for fucking ever and have just been training what they call gardeners. So
Yes.
they're just like, dispatch the gardeners, and the Mycotyrant has finally arrived. They were ready. They were ready.
That's true. We will get into what exactly they do in a little bit, but we go back to Vito, who's now working to get as many sacrifices for his god as humanly possible, when Inti shows up. Inti is riding one of the bats, and now Vito is flying, and Inti, they're in this battle in the sky, which seems okay for a little bit. And Inti definitely thinks that he's actually going to be able to beat Vito and kind of win this fight. Though it ultimately comes down to, hey, I am vampire bat guy. I have wings of my own. You just have a steed, essentially. And so Vito decides to kill the bat that he's riding, Inti's riding on, and then Inti plummets towards the earth. As he's doing that, Clavileño, flies over, and quickly, as he passes by, just cracks his neck and kills him, and then keeps
Yeah.
going.
The fall, it wasn't a guaranteed kill until he came
Exactly.
in. Yeah.
It was
I
basically like
mean,
V.
where I come from, that's a kill steal, but all right, fine.
Yeah, that's just a flyby. Do a quick one of those, and of course, Whatley sees the whole thing as her cousin's dead body now plummets to the earth. Sad stuff. It's just a, classic introduce us to a couple characters and then kill them. Our main characters care a lot about those characters, but we've just met those characters, so it means less to us. But it is sad. So that brings us to episode number six. So,
Yeah, the grand finale.
grand finale. We're getting there, folks. We're getting to the end. We pick up right where we left off, and Whatley is facing down Vito, being like, "You dirty rat, you are a big old jerk. You know that? I am tired of you sacrificing people and killing my cousin." So she is basically trying to fight with him. She does pray and call on to her gods to help her, which of course Vito's mocking and doing all that kind of stuff. The classic thing where he's talking a little bit too much, and then we get a dinosaur jumps on one side of him, and then Weta's dinosaur, Pantalazza, I believe. Comes and starts tearing at his flesh and ripping at his wings, and Whatley walks over. I don't think it's specified, but I'm pretty sure she picks up his spear, the Tyrian spear, and stabs him in the heart and stakes him to the ground. Classic. Great way to kill a vampire, right through the heart.
And he's literally like, as he dies, he's like, Aklazatz, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah, it's
So
like
like he thought he was invincible basically because his god because he was his god's
He's a
favorite.
bat god guy. As far as we know, Aklazatz is still on the ground waiting for more sacrifices, being like, "Why did you even bother? Get the easy ones. I need
Yeah,
blood."
geez, like this is taking way too
Way too
long.
long. So Vito comes, kills a bunch of people, turns into a bat. Kills Whatley's cousin and then immediately gets eaten by dinosaurs and stabbed in the heart. So
Yeah.
he's
Tough road.
gone. Bye, Vito. And that is shown in Story Spotlight number 9, Whatley's Final Strike, which, I mean, we all could have. If you don't know that Vito's dead by now, you just haven't looked at the cards.
Yeah.
Also, at some point, we get our final Story Spotlight, which is Story Spotlight number 10, which is Bitter Triumph, which shows that Caporocti, who is our other, like, Sun Empire dude who is around, like basically best friends with Inti, stabs Clavileño in the heart as well, getting revenge. But that happened off screen at some point. We don't really know when.
Random side character, random good guy side character kills random bad guy side character,
Exactly.
apparently.
We kind of wish that was like a anything to do with the spores instead, but you know,
Yeah,
just
the
so they
spores
could.
just like didn't affect that battle. It was just kind of like two different things.
Yeah, the spores were still coming in. So speaking of spores, Jeff, what happens with them? Let's go over to that story.
Basically the echoes, basically I think Quint does this anyways. Quint summons Abuela, which is Abuelo's, wife,
Wife.
and it turns out that these echoes, these like ghosts of the past people, they kind of just like zoom into a spore, and then the spore like
Pops.
It's described as like a sickness for that only affects the spores. They just kind of like implode or explode, and then the echo comes back out and just like zooms into the next one. So they just kind of like insta kill all
Yeah.
the spores. And so when they see the Myco Tyrant's army approaching, they just like summon forth all of the echoes. So they've just been like waiting here, ready for this. With this, I don't know if they had to like use some sort of magic to make this happen, or they just figured out goes
I
do
think
this or something, but
Quint does something with it, or maybe figures it out, or I don't know. There's also a piece where like Amalia works with the gardeners to like make a big trench in the ground so the spores fall into it or something, and then all of
yeah,
the ghosts
but they
just run
literally just
through.
start like building a spore bridge and they bridge across, and then all the
Oh,
other
right.
spores run across the spore bridge.
Oh, right. And they're like, oh, I guess that didn't really work. Right. So
Yeah.
Amalia's one time to really shine doesn't work out. Through this, everyone's fighting. But really, I think they should all step back and just be like, you know what? Let
Yeah, it
let
seems
the
like we have
ghosts
our
do it.
ace in the hole here.
Yeah,
Like
I
the
think the
ghosts
ghosts.
can't get harmed and just like insta kill them and are fine
Exactly.
after. So
And then
good thing.
Breeches looks at Malcolm and says, oh, can we do the big boom? And Malcolm's like, I guess we could do that. And essentially, it's like, it's not a cannon, but it's just a giant explosion thing.
It seems like it's just a gun, right? Because he's like
Oh, right.
a handheld cannon.
But it's like a big thing. I don't know. Anyway, so Malcolm like flies with Breeches and they shoot at stuff and it kills the Micro Tyrant, or so they think.
They nailed the Myco Tyrant with it because he's just like in his big throne at the back of his army. And so
Right.
they fly up and they're like, "You only have one shot." And there's some shenanigans where Breeches is pointing it at Malcolm, and Malcolm's like, "Don't point that at me." And then he's like, "Fly better." And then,
Yeah.
anyways, they really nail the Myco Tyrant, and it is indeed a big boom.
Big boom. There's a piece in the middle where Kellen is also fighting alongside Amalia. Just some more freaking dialogue that I
Brutal
had to.
dialogue.
It's basically like Amalia surprised that Kellen is so good at fighting. And he's like, oh, these guys aren't so tough. Have you ever tangled with a giant goose? And Amalia's like, what's a goose? And then Kellen's like, oh, it's like a dinosaur with a grudge. Stupid. So boo. I hate it so bad. Oh, I had to stop and like just copy paste and be like, this is disgusting. I hate
Oh,
all
I had to
their
groan. Yeah.
Kellen and Amalia stuff is just like,
Yeah, the whole suck boy side story is
yeah, it's just gross. And like, I guess sure they don't have like geese on Ixalan, but like the fact that also Kellen would say that, oh, a giant goose is worse than a dinosaur is like, oh, come on.
Shut up, Kellen.
You haven't fought a dinosaur. The dinosaurs have been on your side, bro,
Yeah,
first off.
idiot.
So you've like dealt with some goblins and some cat people and you went in the litter box.
And a mushroom, maybe.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Kellen gets like better or is like more. He's so annoying.
At this point, I just don't know why he's here.
I
Like,
know.
he didn't really factor into the story, so
He didn't.
I don't understand why. Anyways, we'll find out. He's part of the bigger arc, but.
Oh, he. I mean, it's his arc. We know that he's the character of the next couple of years, so that's why he's here to
Yeah.
just do a through line. And get a card, I guess. But anyway, he's around. Anyway, yay, we did it. Everything's basically done. So the heroes go back to beat up on the vampires and Aklazots, but they're gone. The spores distracted
Yeah.
them long enough, and Aklazots just like peaced out. But he didn't take Chamil with him. Also, strange that we have a card showing that it gets dark for that moment, but we don't have cards that show that it is dark during the battle. Because
Right.
that's a small thing, but it does seem strange that it was like one of the main it was one of the main things that Aklazotz wanted to do when he got released, and then it's just not really represented. His I know that they were trying to keep the cards as light as possible because they're already like in the caverns, but that was just my little thing. So Aklazotz just pieces out and they're like, okay, well, I guess everything's fine. The fungus is gone. We don't know where the vampires are. Cool. All right. Amalia is now trying to figure out what she should do because her faith has been shaken and broken, just like the door that Aklazotz busted out of, which is really sad. And she kind of goes away with Kellen, and they decide that they're going to kind of go off together. She was thinking about going back to the Dusk Legion, and she's like, I don't really know if I can do that. And Kellen's like, you know, there's a lot more stuff out there. Because she wanted to, like, she's like, do I need to worship a different god now? And Kellen's like, well, where I come from, there aren't gods. There's some fairies, though, they're cool. But come with me on my adventures. And so she's gonna go off with into the sunset, or sorry, she walks off into the omen path with her suck boy.
That's right. Then Huatli is like, I don't want to fight anymore. I need to do something else. So she gives her sword to Weta, which has Inti's spirit in it.
Yeah, like immediately. So all the ghosts are called echoes, and then Weta's like, oh, I wish I could talk to Inti about this thing, and then Huatli's like, you can, because his
But
ghost
wink, wink,
is
with
in
that
the
sword I
gem
gave
in
you.
this
Yeah.
sword, and she's like, what? So then, why are we even sad? What is with this, like never letting people grieve, like actually,
Yeah.
hey, Tamio died, except for not really, she's a spirit now.
Yeah.
It's like all that kind of stuff. It's just like,
It's just a sword now.
yeah, now he's just a singing sword, I guess. But it would be like, Inti, what should I do? And you just look at your sword. I don't know. I guess there are
Yeah.
spirits everywhere, so you'd expect it, but
Anyways, the
anyways.
pirates go back to the pirates. They actually like go send word and tell the other pirates what happened, which nobody else seemed to do. So the
Yeah.
Dusk Legion's just like doesn't know that the bat god's out there, I guess.
They were also worried that some of the people had left the old town they were in and like might have, be on a
Right.
boat and might infect the rest of the pirates. So they're just
Right,
trying
they
to,
might have the mycotyrant infection.
because they did destroy all the ones that were down there in the core with them, but there could be more.
Right. Which it turns out, it's segue, there are. The Mycotyrant is on that boat or on a boat and has now been brought to the surface and is like, finally, I get the sons. Because the Mycotyrant didn't even know there were other sons other than Chimil until he infected these pirates and learned about the surface. And so that was his real plan all along, I think, was to actually
Get
cause a
back.
distraction while he
That's true. Gets to the
infected his
surface.
way up to the surface.
And now, basically, also the micro tyrant is seeing that, like, when I infect someone, I can l be in I can infect them, but I don't have to take control of them. I can let them do their business so I can get more people.
Right.
So, but he, while still looking through their eyes, I guess. So he can, like, their eyes are like black or cloudy or something, and the micro tyrant can see everything that they're doing. So, anyway, that's gonna happen at some point. Quint goes and, like, is in some sort of tombish area, and there, I think there's, I wasn't exactly super crystal clear on what was happening, but there's some sort of a tube, I guess, or chamber, incubation kind of chamber thing that Quint, like, is trying to look into and, like, rubs on it and, like, sticks his head or his eyes or puts his glasses on or whatever. And then it's like, all right, this is cool, and opens it up, and it's like this big gray fleshy being, some sort of monster-like thing.
Yeah, some sort of
And
huge thing. Like they found some sort of corpse at the very beginning of a ma absolutely massive creature that they just never mentioned again. I guess it's this.
oh, it's that
And he's
thing.
like investigating that and he finds more of them. And then I guess this one's not dead. He
Because it
somehow
starts moving.
unleashed it.
And Quint starts to run away immediately.
Yeah, just bounce out of there, Quint.
Yep.
Time to go.
Cliffhanger on that one. And then to finish us off, Aklazotz is in the bottom of a boat, being shipped over to the Dusk Legion, gonna
He's
do
on
what he
his way.
wants. And the boat is filled with sacrifices that he
Yeah,
eats.
Ixalan. Not left in great shape.
Pretty
There's the
bad.
Myco Tyrant invading the surface. Aklazotz on his way to the Dusk Legion. They may or may not have any idea that he's even back.
Yeah.
And Quint unleashed some unknown ancient monster. And it's probably just gonna fuck off after
Yeah,
that.
totally.
So
Just gonna walk through an omen path or something.
yeah.
But yeah, it
Well, he doesn't even
doesn't.
need to, right? So he could just leave.
Oh, sorry, I meant the monster is gonna walk through an omen
Oh, the
path.
monster, yeah, who knows? So Ixalan seems like it's kind of fucked, but you know, all of the main characters of our story are leaving,
Are
so
Yeah, I mean, well, Whatley and Saheeli are still, like, chilling on Ixalan,
yeah,
but
true.
we'll see them when we see them.
That's right. In 4 or 5 years, we'll find out what happens here.
Exactly. And that is the story of the Lost Caverns of Ixalan.
Yay.
Yay, we did it. Overall, Jeff, how do we feel about this one?
I liked it. I thought it was above average for a magic story. It's kind of like, oh, I don't want to say cliche or like, you know, it's just like some overzealous guy unleashes an ancient evil upon the world and
Doesn't
the good guys
understand what
fight
he's
him off.
doing. And yeah, it reminds me a lot of, like, the Strixhaven, where it's like, oh, we're gonna unleash the demon thing, and then the demon thing is this character's downfall, but you spent your entire life trying to unleash them, that kind of thing.
Pretty classic demon story, Vito.
Yeah, great stuff. But yeah, man, Kellen, so annoying.
Yeah, I liked that he wasn't like saving the day or,
That's
you
true.
know, like he was just there and not really participating much.
Yeah.
Which was nice. If it was every story is all like about Kellen saving the day, that would have
Gotten
that'd
so
be that'd be
old
rough. That'd be
so
rough.
fast. So yeah, anyway, that is the Lost Caverns of Ixalan. The next story, which is the murders at Karlov Manor, are coming out actually very soon, just around
Yeah,
now. I think they're
first
just kind
one's
of,
out, right?
it really is. We do know that Kellen is there, so maybe we'll see if Amalia also made it to the manor or is on Ravnica. So We'll have to see, but that will be on the next episode of Vorthos with the Arena Regulars, drunken
That's
or
right.
non. We'll
Yeah.
see.
TBD.
So, Jeff, we gotta go to last call, and we gotta talk about these hot chocolates.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say. It was a hot chocolate.
I know, I'm just kidding. Jeff was
Silver.
very, very, very uninterested in doing the hot chocolate thing. But, as I said to Jeff, it wouldn't be the Arena Regulars if I didn't force him to drink something he didn't want to drink. So
Yeah, that's true.
he put up with it. But I was very happy to have mine. It was the first hot chocolate of the season. So very,
Awesome.
very nice. The next one will have alcohol on it, and everyone after that, and I will almost only drink hot chocolate with booze. But
Nice.
anyway,
See, that one, I could try that.
yeah, put some rum in it, or whiskey, probably whiskey.
Whiskey, yeah.
Do we have any final thoughts before we go to closing time?
No, I think, we covered it pretty well. It was pretty good, but they always leave so much out. They can't explain everything. So there's just like, I'm sort of more curious about this ancient civilization and how it works and how they got to where they are now. And it just sort of sweeps that all under the rug. But there's no time for that. But
Yeah. It's
overall, pretty
funny.
good. I enjoyed it. I read it pretty quickly, so.
Yeah, it's funny 'cause thinking about it as far as like I know that Wizards wants to start working on having like smaller stories in worlds. And if this story was just the Micro Tyrant stuff with Breaches and Malcolm and the pirates and all that, I think I would have liked it a lot better if it was much smaller, more focused.
They
And
just felt the need to include, merfolk dinosaurs,
exactly.
vampires, and pirates,
And cat people.
apparently.
Why do we have to? We didn't need the cat people, but I guess they're also part of this. And everything. So obviously it makes sense. I get it. But maybe the third time we go to Ixalan, we can tone down the whole thing. At like as we're going to Ravnica, which will not be a traditional guild set. So
Right, yeah.
we'll see how that goes. But anyway, with that, we're gonna go to closing time. So you can always reach us at Arena Regulars on Twitter and Instagram.
You may find us on Arena itself. Our username will be Arena Regulars Podcast.
If you want to talk to me personally, you can find me at Zulberg, that is Zulberg on Twitter and Instagram, as well as regular Zach on Twitch. I am streaming Mondays through Wednesday. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of people from the Discord that are in as well. So come hang out.
And that's the best place to find me is on that Discord channel or in Zach's stream chat. I go by a regular Jeff in the Discord channel. And the link for the Discord should be in the show notes.
It is. Also, check out the Discord because Jeff always posts his really cool decks, and I like to play them, and you will probably like to play them as well. So, also, the best thing to do, it's really helpful if you just leave us a review, actually. If you go on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, leave us a review there as well. On YouTube, comment, all those kinds of things. But the best thing you can really do is if you enjoy our episodes, tell your friends about us. That helps out a ton. And it really just grows the podcast. This has been the Arena Regulars.
Reminding you that the quicksand whirlpool was most definitely a litter box.
Good night. All right, that's fine.